Here we go.
Join us on the expedition of a lifetime as we search for Bigfoot in Paris, Texas, March 30th, 2007.
I'm here tonight to tell you and the world that myself and my company, Searching for Bigfoot, has definite proof that Bigfoot lives.
2007, Search for Bigfoot, Tom Biscardi and his team, as seen in the hit film, Bigfoot Lives.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now.
That's Paris, Texas, March 30th, 31st, and 32nd. Bigfoot has met his match with the technology of Dr. Ron Milioni with special guest, Ghost Hunter, Brian Anwar. Reserve your tickets now. SearchingBigfoot at Yahoo.com. That's SearchingBigfoot at Yahoo.com. 2007. Search for Bigfoot with the legend Tom Biscardi. SearchingForBigfoot.com.
Well, this is Marco Bill and on the Bigfoot Live Network broadcast. And, folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show. Now, folks, Mr. Tom Biscardi is conducting an urgent Bigfoot investigation. And when he returns and completes validation of his investigation, he'll release some earth-shattering news when he gets back. Until then, Java Bob and Tom Biscardi Jr. will be hosting the show this evening, and while Tom is away. Now, if you'd like to join us in our live discussions during the program, just dial in and join us at 347-996-5877. That's 347-996-5877. Just dial in and wait for the moderator to announce your area code and bring you on the show. And now, everybody, the team that put the foot into searching for Bigfoot, Java Bob and Tom Biscardi Jr. Good evening, Java Bob and Tommy.
Good evening, Bill. And how you doing, TJ?
Good evening, Bill. Hey, Bobby, how are you? How are those Bigfooters and all those Parafooters doing this evening?
I tell you, they seem to be doing just great. And we got a pretty good show lined up for tonight. Like Bill said, the boss, Tom Sr., is out conducting business for us right now, and he's on a, I think he's on a plane right about now. I talked to him just a little while ago. He's doing good. And he's on his back, but he wasn't going to be here in time for the show. So here we are, and we have a pretty good show planned tonight. We have we're going to try and get Bill Conneroe on. If any of you who follow our website know, he's the one that submitted the story about finding possibly a baby Bigfoot body.
Yep.
And Java Bob, guess what?
What's that?
Just as we started the show, we have two callers on the line hanging on. So one's been on there for 5 minutes, one for 1 minute. When you're ready, and after you start the show, we'll bring them on when you'd like.
Well, you know, that's what the show's going to be all about. We're going to be taking questions, answering questions and answers, and all the information everybody has out there about Bigfoot, what we're doing, what's going to be happening on March 30th. We also have Mr. Ron Milioni from TAPS and James Schnell waiting in the wings from the Grand Paranormal, who we're cooperating with to get this taken care of down here in Texas. So we bring on the questions because we have the answers, folks. Isn't that right, Bobby?
That's absolutely right, DJ. So who's that first caller?
Well, Java Bob, the first caller is area code 516. Area code 516, you're on Bigfoot Live with Java Bob.
Well, hi there. Who are we talking to tonight?
Area code 410.
All right.
Yeah, hello, this is 410.
Hi, who is 410?
My name is Adam. I'm just been fascinated by the Bigfoot phenomenon, have never really done anything formal like y'all are doing. Really impressed about the expedition you have coming up. Had a quick question. I saw in one promo that Tom Sr. was mentioning that you had a couple facilities already prepared should you capture one of these creatures. Could you elaborate a little bit about what exactly is included in those facilities, how you're potentially going to study a creature should you capture it, and then, as I understand it, you're going to let it go after that?
Yeah, that's correct. That's our plan. And I won't elaborate too much because, of course, we want to keep these facilities as hush-hush as possible. We don't want anybody barging in there or knowing too much about them. But what I can tell you is that we have We have veterinary staff and medical staff in place, and we have facilities where we can hold, feed, and maintain a creature should we get one. We have two of these places, and they're basically close to either coast. So
that's pretty.
We're prepared.
That's incredible, and you know, I'll be following it eagerly and wish you best of luck. And I just think it's really exciting what y'all are doing.
Well, Adam, we really appreciate that, and I hope you're following the website.
You bet.
We got lots going on all the time, and you know, it's people like you that that keep us going here, so and give us a reason to just keep on going through the hardships we have to go through to get this information, get out in the field, and find this stuff.
Yeah.
And you have an opportunity, you know, to join that expedition. As a matter of fact, some of the people that are involved are going to be on tonight, and they're going to be talking about just what that expedition is all about and how what makes it different from any other expedition that's ever been done before.
Looking forward to it.
You might want to just press your 6 button, which will mute you out.
Java, Bob, he's on the caller line.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're on the caller line. Okay,
yep.
Well, feel free to log on and listen in. It's going to be an exciting show, Adam. And
very good.
Thank you so much for your question.
Thank you. Bye now.
Hey, Bobby. So we're going to have a pretty packed show here. We got, like I was telling you, Rob Milioni and James Schnell. So let Adam know. These are the gentlemen that he'd want to call back into to discuss further about, you know, what's going to be happening on our trip. I mean, we can give them the technical understanding of what we do in the field, but they're actually running this expedition. And for that, to call back, you know, later if he wanted to, when they're on, would be, you know, if he had questions about that, that's what he should do.
And also area code 516 dropped off the line when we picked him up because he probably had a phone problem. He's back on right now if you'd like me to bring him on.
Well, please do.
Okay, let me bring 516. You should be on the air right now with Java Bob and Tommy Jr.
Hey, 516.
Hi, guys.
You?
Yes, I got I had phone problems before.
Not a problem.
How you guys doing?
We're good. And your name is?
Andy from Wantor.
Hi, Andy. How you doing?
I was on last week.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember. I had said I'd call back after I watched the video.
The movie.
It was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a pretty exciting movie. It's unlike anything else out there, isn't it?
I signed the guest list, and it left a feeling in me that I can't describe.
Hey, Andy, if you could summarize it up to let our listeners know, what did you like about the movie, if there was anything you didn't like about it, and why should other people go out and buy it? What makes it different from the rest of the Bigfoot movies out there?
It was real. It's hard to explain. It left a feeling in me that I have a hard time describing. I mean, the only way to know is through. I never expected it. You know, I expected.
And, you know, we pride ourselves as just showing what we see as we see it, when we see it. We don't try to change it. We don't try to alter it. We just try and show the truth that's out there.
Now, it said that you're going to try to capture one life, and that you would release it again.
That's our plan. Yes.
What, you know, I'm going to say when it happens. Will you plant some kind of chip in it to track it?
Well, you know, we
you know, before you let it go.
We're going to leave that up to the technical people that are involved. That I think they had some thought about some kind of a collar, but I don't know how well that would work. It probably could take it off, but I'm sure they have something in mind there.
Right.
You know, some of the technical people involved are going to be on the show tonight. Dr. Ron Milioni and Jim Schnell. You might want to listen in tonight. You might get some real good insight as to what's being planned.
Right. Okay. One more thing.
Sure.
I had spoke to Tom the other night regarding coming to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
He said somebody would be getting back to me. What's the usual time frame for that?
Well, Jim Schnell with Granite State Paranormal, the gentleman that's heading that up.
Okay.
He will be on tonight. I'm sure that if you email Java Bob all your information,
Okay.
We'll get it over to him, and we'll have him call you ASAP.
Oh, that would be great. Okay. Thanks, guys. And it was a pleasure
to
talk to you guys.
Thank you, Andy. We appreciate you calling in and appreciate your input. And I hope that you can continue to spread the word about this movie. It's unlike any other one that's ever been done. I'm real proud of it.
Yes.
Well, spread the word about the movie and the show and searchingforbigfoot.com. We're all just one big family.
I've been telling everybody. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
And I'll talk to you guys again.
Okay, and Andy, I've got your telephone number, and I'll forward that to Jim Snell.
Excellent. Thanks.
Awesome. Thanks for calling in, Andy.
Bye.
Wow, we had some great questions, Bob.
Yeah, that's really nice to hear from the people out there. Is by any chance Bill Conroe out there yet?
Yes, I am.
Bill, this is Java Bob. For the first time I got stuck
here. How you doing,
Very
Bob?
Good. Very good. So, you know, for those of you who follow our website, you might see we have a special section called Stories from People Just Like You.
Uh-huh.
And Mr. Conroe, Bill, can I call you Bill?
Yeah.
Bill wrote in about he actually had Roger Peterson, who's one of the other contributors to that section,
mm-hmm.
actually had him write in and share his story. And for those of you who follow the website, you'll be aware about it. But a story of a guy doing his job out in the woods who came upon a body of some kind of animal, and he believes it's a baby Bigfoot. And Bill is here to share that story with us.
Yes, I am.
So, Bill, in your words, why don't you tell us what happened? Start at the very beginning.
I worked for Phelps Dodge Smelter, Hidalgo Smelter in Playas, New Mexico.
Now, tell people what a smelter is. I know because I worked in a steel mill. But
It's basically the same thing. It's where they make copper. They smelt copper down and make it into anodes. And then they ship it out to have it made into wire or whatever they need to do. Well, anyway, I worked for about 5 years with the Industrial Railroad Department of that company. And every so many days whenever we get a chance, we had what they call an inspection car. And we took that inspection car out and checked the rail for cracks, for breaks, anything, you know, that would hinder the train. This particular day, it was pretty warm, so it must have been sometime between July and August. And I went out to check the track. And about a mile away from the plant, maybe a mile and a half, I noticed this thing laying in the road, or in the middle of the track. You know, I didn't pay much attention to it. So
now, Bill, this track, it goes through their property, correct? They're being
they own 38 miles of track.
Okay, now how remote is this track? I mean, what's on either side of the track?
Desert.
Can you describe that? Just desert.
Yeah, desert. There's a town site, but it was about 15, maybe 20 miles away.
Okay. Is there much cover there? Or is it just flat
on
the ground?
No, it's flat. You know, in places it's hilly. There you can see mountains in the back. But, you know, it's pretty well flattened out.
Okay.
And I went all the way to where I had to go, and on my way back, I stopped and I looked at it, and I noticed that it had been there for a while, and the chest was open, and you know how it's all hollowed out and everything, and, you know, the animals had got to it,
mm-hmm.
and I could see ribs, like human form ribs, inside. The feet and hands were like human. They were not animal paws. They were human.
Now,
so,
did you notice whether it had fingernails or claws?
I didn't pay. You know, I didn't see that.
Okay.
But I figured I would go back to the plant and pick up a friend of mine by the name of Ed Fisher. Ed Fisher and I had been partners. We had been through high school together, and you know, we were working together.
Well, now, Bill, I'd like to interrupt real quickly here and point out that you had mentioned in your letter, in your story, or when I talked to you at yesterday that you were not allowed to bring cameras on this property.
That's correct.
Would you share that information with our audience?
Phelps Dodge has a very strict rule. No cameras, no videotapes, anything of that nature can be taken into the plant, period. That is their rules. And you cannot, if you get caught doing that, you can lose your job.
Okay, then. All right. Getting back to what you found there, then.
Okay, I went and I picked up Ed Fisher. We went out on the inspection car. It might have been a couple of days later. I figured it was a weekend, and I was on my own. So I went and picked him up maybe a couple of days later, and I took him out there. And he looked at it, and he concluded the same thing. He came to the same conclusion. He had said he had never, ever seen an animal like that before. And he still tells me. He says, we should have gone back and put it in a plastic bag and brought it, you know. But we really never occurred about it because they were fixing to shut down the plant. And we were thinking about that. And that's the story. We went back a few days later. It was gone. And Ed told me he figures maybe a coyote drug it off or something. He doesn't know.
Tell me a little bit more about what made you come to the conclusion. Well, first of all, let's tell people what your conclusion, what you believe this might have been, is, and then
describe
a little bit what made you come to that conclusion.
Okay, we figured it was something that had come from up north because, you know, these trains go all the way up to Utah and up in that area. And we figured it had fallen from the train. And it hadn't been hit, okay, because if it had been hit, it would have been torn to pieces. It was not hit by the train. We figured it fell off the train on the way, the ore car.
Mm-hmm.
And he figured the same thing because he's seen a lot of animals. Ed is very knowledgeable about animals. Okay, he's a big-time hunter. He goes hunting all the time. And he told me he's never seen anything like that before. So,
well, let me ask you this. Could you give us a little bit better physical description of what you saw?
It was about 3 feet long, brown hair. The head was round, and it was flattened in. And he had big black eyes.
Right. When you said the head was flattened in, you mean like a flat face, not like a
yes,
not like a muzzle.
Yes, it was flattened in.
Wow.
It could have been from the amount of time that it had been sitting out there, because it'd been out there for a while. I'd passed it a few times, but
any tail or
excuse me,
any tail or signs of a tail?
No. Didn't have no tail. Didn't have a tail.
So you came to the conclusion that this might have been a baby Bigfoot.
Yes.
Wow.
That's the only thing I can think that it was, because I've never seen anything like that out there before either.
Well, I tell you, it's a shame
we don't
have. I've
seen a lot of coyotes. I've seen a lot of other animals out there.
It's really a shame that we don't have pictures or, better still, a sample or DNA or hair or anything.
Yeah.
But what an amazing story.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, stories like that come up over the years. They come up, and I really appreciate the fact you took the time to put it in our section on our website,
mm-hmm.
searchingforbigfoot.com,
mm-hmm.
And put it under stories from people just like you. And, of course, it's posted there.
Uh-huh.
And I got to tell you, Bill, it really means a lot when people take the time to share their discoveries and share their stories because everyone is a little tiny piece of an overall puzzle. Now, this may or may not have been a baby Bigfoot. We don't have near enough information to make a decision like that.
I said, it was not a monkey.
Right.
You know, you ain't going to see monkeys out in the desert like that. No way.
I understand.
Not where I'm. Not where this is at. This is way down towards the border. of New Mexico and Mexico.
Now, you said in your story, too, when I talked to you, that you were very confident it was not a coup de Monde.
Yeah, I'm very confident that it was not.
Now, I know the coup de Monde come from South America and
sometimes
travel all the way up into Arizona.
This train did not come from South America. It came from up north. I don't know where up north, but it came from up north.
Amazing story. And, you know, you never know. We never know what these things could be. But
you never know what's out there.
That's exactly right.
You don't know what's out there. Nobody knows. People claim to know, but they don't know what's out there. Could be anything.
You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. Well, you know, I've got to appreciate, let you know how much I appreciate people like Bill Conero, who sent us his story, and Roger Peterson, who's his friend, who also sent us a story. And if any of you out there have a story you want to share, please go on the website and submit it. And if it's if it makes sense, why, we'll put it up on the website. So, Bill, I thank you much for, you know, coming on and sharing that story with the public. And I'm sure it's going to make a big difference in the way people feel about some of the things they've seen themselves, and make them feel a lot more comfortable sharing those stories. So,
well, I sure thank you for letting me on.
Well, thank you so much. Okay, then. Well, are you can you know how to mute out on their phone?
No. Just press number 6, I guess.
Press number 6. You can mute out, and you can listen to the show on the phone, or you can go to a computer and listen to it there.
Okay,
but,
thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thanks for coming on.
So, TJ.
Yeah.
What do you think about Mr. Conero?
I'm telling you, that's an amazing story. I was just sitting here, you know, holding on to my edge of my seat, just listening to it, because, you know, it didn't have any claws, it didn't have any nails, and then hearing that it came from up north and then possibly fell off of a train or got hit by a train, you know, out in those wooded areas, that's where this creature's hanging out, and who knows, a mischievous child creature could be straying off, and, hey, look at this, I see a train, let's get on it, let's, you know, kids do things like that, you know?
Oh, it's quite a story, isn't it? You know, is Ray Crow out there? Is Ray Crow called in?
I guess not. Not yet.
I guess he hasn't called in yet. Well, you know, Ray Crow has been, for those of you who follow the website, know he sent us a picture from Russia that his colleagues out there have sent him. Many of you know Ray Crow as the director of the International Bigfoot Society. And he's been sharing a lot of this stuff with us. And just today he sent me some more information about that picture, pretty interesting stuff. And it's already posted on the website. I was hoping to have Ray here to talk about it. In the meantime, if you want to see what he had to say, when you get a chance, log on the website. And TJ, is Ron on there with you?
Well, hey, is my pair of brothers out there, the pair of footers, Ron Milioni and James Snell?
What's going on, brother?
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful, man. Hey, Jabba Bob, introduce yourself to Mr. James Snell if you haven't already.
I've talked to Mr. Snell. How you doing, James?
How you doing, Bob?
Real good, real good. So pretty excited about this upcoming event, huh?
Oh, I'll tell you what, I am looking forward to it. I'm ready to hit the field. It's going to be exciting stuff.
This is a one-of-a-kind adventure. There's so many things that make this stand out and stand alone. It's never been done before. It's truly a history-making event, and the fact that it's open to the public just amazes me. Why don't you go ahead and take a few minutes to explain what this thing is all about?
Like you said, it is a once-in-a-lifetime chance. I mean, it's never been done before, it's a full-on expedition to actually capture one of these creatures. You know, its first argument with the skeptic and Bigfoot argument is always, well, you know, we've got all this technology now, how come we've never caught one of these things? Well, nobody's really put anything together to go out and catch one of these things on this level. So now we have done that. And, you know, skeptics and Bigfoot believers alike are invited to come along with us.
Let me just jump in here real quick. Hey, everybody that's out there listening, if you had questions about this trip, where you wanted to, how to get along with us, how to get in touch with us, what we'll be doing, the schedule, this is the gentleman you want to call. We'll read you right up to them so you can chat with them. He'll answer those questions. And we're going to have also Dr. Ron Milioni, who will be bringing all the equipment that he's actually perfected for our expeditions. He'll be on here also in a bit, and he'll be answering any questions that have to do with the gear, the tracking devices, the infrared, the motion sensing, all that stuff. So give us a call, and sorry to be there, Jim, and go ahead.
Yeah, well, I'm just excited about it. That's all I can say. I mean, and I'm a skeptic, you know. I mean, I'm like you were, Tommy, when you first had your experience, you know. I haven't had an experience. I'm still skeptical on everything, but I got to say, certainly after seeing Bigfoot Lives, the film, I was just ready to pack my bags and run out the door. And then recently there's been a lot of evidence that has come around, a lot of sightings and a lot of actual physical evidence has come around just recently even. So I'm getting pretty excited about it.
Hey, Jimmy, if people want to give you a call and get tickets, what number would they call you at?
Let's see. Let me find that number here. I can give you the email right now, and then I'll have the number for you in a couple minutes. The email address is searchingbigfoot@yahoo.com. That's searchingbigfoot@yahoo.com, one word. And I will get you that number in a second. I got to look it up. How pathetic I am, huh?
Yeah, no
kidding. There's a direct link on our website, too, if you off both the front page and the home page. It goes right to the expedition page, and on that there's a direct link to searchingbigfoot.com.
You know what the problem is? I never call myself.
I completely understand that. People that call themselves all day must have some issues.
Okay, here you go. It's Jim. It's area code 646-652-6529. That's 646-652-6529, and you can leave us a message on there, or like I said, you can email us at searchingbigfoot@yahoo.com. If you want to just go buy a ticket, all you do is go right to parapalooza.com, P-A-R-A-P-A-L-O-O-Z-A. It's a nice little spelling bee here, but parapalooza.com, and you can purchase your tickets right online.
Absolutely.
Okay, and we got a question from a call-in earlier in the show that said when they do try and contact you, what's the typical time frame before they'll get a reply or an answer?
Oh, within a couple of days anyway. I try to get back as soon as I can.
All righty, that's good to know. Thank you.
Usually that day or the next day.
Gotcha. So the people, a general idea. You're going to actually be out with the team for 24 hours. That's what your ticket buys you.
Right.
That 24 hours, you're going to have classes. You're going to learn about how to cast a print. What is a print? What makes a Bigfoot print more viable than looking at maybe a bear footprint? Looking for the signs that say that a Bigfoot is in the area. Learning, walking through the woods, seeing these signs, actually visualizing them, possibly, hopefully, with the gear and equipment, see a creature, you track yourself, you'll be out in the woods, you'll be in the elements with Searching for Bigfoot team. We're going to have, I think is what we decided, it's going to be probably five teams. You'll be designated to a team. There'll be a team leader who has actually been on expedition, that's actually had a sighting, and that knows pretty much everything there is to know about what to look for, how to move through the woods, how to communicate with the creature, et cetera, et cetera. Now, not only are you going to get daytime classes, you're going to get field time as well. You'll be helping us monitoring these digital cameras that are wireless that Mr. Maloney has perfected for us. You'll be out helping us set our areas with bait. We'll be walking through the areas. They'll be, like I said, very swampish, muddy, tree areas. And, you know, we're going to be out in the woods. It's almost going to be like a full-blown expedition, but it's only going to be for 24 hours. Hey, Jimmy, do the people have a hotel room, or are they going to be sleeping out in the woods with us?
Well, you get both, actually. You get a hotel room, and you get the overnight expedition. That's all included in the ticket price. You also get breakfast, and you get a meal while you're out in the field as well. It's all-inclusive. Like you said, you get the classes. You get to see all the equipment and stuff. that you guys are using. You get to see the new equipment that Ron's bringing, and hopefully you get up in close and personal with the Bigfoot. But
you know, you keep talking about this equipment. This equipment alone is what makes this whole project so unusual. Some of this equipment has never been used before in the field. It was designed just particularly for this expedition.
Right.
And expeditions like it. Totally unusual. That's what we're going to have Ron Milioni talk about in a little while.
And, you know, hey, guys, how you doing?
Hey, Ronnie, how are you?
All right, guys. Checking in and getting ready for the expedition at the end of March, which is going to be, I'm sure, a real unique experience.
Absolutely. And with all the gear that you've perfected, like I was getting ready to tell people, I'm glad you got on, because I've had a lot of questions, actually, people calling me through our office going, you know, if you're taking this many people out into the woods, you're not going to see not a Bigfoot. You won't see a rat, a deer, a pig, et cetera. But I try to explain to these people that the gear that you're perfecting for us allows us the ability to actually have as many people as we want out there, because they transmit miles. And we're going to be set up into certain grid sections. And we got 22,000 acres, guys, okay? With 5 to 10 people and 22,000 acres, you know, you could lose yourself. And I guarantee you, if you got lost out here, you'd have a hard time finding your way back unless you knew what you were doing. So to answer that question, we're going to have the equipment that will help monitor the areas that we find that are hot spots, where we actually find pre-breaks, we find footprints, we find pre-twists. We may hear the creature in a certain area. Well, these creatures don't move during the day. The very rare ones that do are the male or female juveniles that are out looking for, well, you know, a mate. And that's very rare. They move at night, you know, between 10 and 4 in the morning. They leave, you know, their areas of denning, you know, right before early dawn, I mean early evening, and they go back to their areas at dawn. So we're going to be setting up these gear during the day. People understand that you'll be setting it up. We'll be monitoring back at base camp. And then we'll also have select teams that we feel won't jeopardize the field operation at night, that will be out farther in the woods with us, where, you know, we think the creatures are going to be there. We don't want to have to scare them. We want to be able to catch the video. Hey, Ron, could you tell people about the gear that you're bringing along that ensures us this ability?
Sure. I'll give them kind of a 50,000-foot level of how it's going to work. Let's start with the real-time audio and video. So you kind of what's going to happen is you're going to expand your visible spectrum. So what we're going to do is we have these new high-end special infrared eyes that, of course, you know, are aimed to see in the dark. But these systems are enhanced, or these optics are enhanced, where it's going to go some put out pretty, you know, pretty far, pretty deep penetration, and a wide aperture, you could say, wide aperture field of vision that's probably really leading edge technology. The thing is that you'll be able to be so mobile as a person that all the way back at the command center, we'll get the feed or the signal back all the way back. Besides what the individual person that will have that piece of mobile infrared wireless equipment, it's also going to be captured and recorded at the same time at the command center. So just think of the, as the group leaders or the people involved that's going out there, you guys are going to be kind of like a special forces, like a recon mission. You're going to be like a forward observer, really far out, and just any sign or any movement, we're going to do some kind of triangulation or kind of that type of trapping with these audio and video optical systems at the same time. Now, that's portability. So in other words, you're going to be completely free moving around wearing a special type of vest / helmet that's going to house this wireless communication gear. At the same time, when we get much more narrow where we think the they're hiding out, or in other words, let's say kind of slowly moving, we're going to have some static position of other equipment that's going to kind of, let's say, light up the forest at night on an infrared. Now, the thing about this is that, you know, these creatures don't know about infrared technology as much as we do. So we're going to kind of fool them. They're not going to be able to see or be noticed that there's some kind of special spectrum of infrared that's happening out there. And we're going to set up also some other specific laser grids out there that's going to help us kind of like electronic fence, that once these things go through, that we'll get some kind of notification of movement.
Well, so Dr. Milioni, you stop me if I'm wrong, but it's my understanding that you've developed a lot of this type of equipment for the U.S. military, and that some of this stuff, even the U.S. military doesn't have yet. Is that correct?
That's correct. In other words, there's pieces of the system that are used by the military, but the whole complete ball of wax, as one, you could say, A to Z, hasn't been implemented yet. So what I'm kind of do is taking one piece and then some wireless technology, this kind of fusing it together as one complete total solution package. And it's going to be applied for the hunt.
Outstanding.
That's correct.
Outstanding.
That's correct.
You know, that just this equipment makes this whole expedition stand out. But there's another little thing that we've overlooked. One thing that'll be going on here is there's a very high probability that there'll be a very well-known production crew out here filming this for a possible coming series, television series. So there's a chance people will come along here, it'd be picked up and end up on as TV stars. I think that's just very, very exciting.
Yeah, I mean, exactly, Bob. It's going to really keep your adrenaline flowing.
So just to recap what we have so far, we are allowing the public to come in, be part of this history-making expedition. I mean, this truly is history-making. Seeing and possibly using some of the most advanced equipment ever put out for a purpose like this. Be part of a history-making expedition. Go to we have found to be one of the hottest spots in the entire world, much less the country, for looking for these creatures. And really make history, and possibly ending up in the history books.
People are actually going to even... From what they learn out in this 4 hours, if they feel that they want to continue searching for Bigfoot in their areas, doing their own research, they're going to actually have the availability to have the tools, the experience, the knowledge of calling us and, hey, Tom, hey, Bob, I'm in this area, this is what I found. I mean, we're not just going to stop there. I mean, we're becoming all big, giant family of everybody that's out there. We're going to be part of our network, and wherever you're at, you'll have the access and availability of searchingforbigfoot.com when you're out in the woods somewhere else if you're working with us.
That's right. You'll be working with us live, hand in hand. You'll get to meet the people you're hearing. You'll get to see what we do. You'll get to work with us, and you'll have firsthand experience. You're absolutely right, TJ. This isn't where we're going to just have people come along and you get to watch. This
you
is
could-
where you get to participate.
Yeah, I mean, this, the experience you're going to get over the 24 hours, you couldn't get, and I don't know, I mean, a year if you were doing this 24/7. You're going
to have the
knowledge, the equipment that we know that works, because we've been out there for the past 10, 11 months saying, this doesn't work, this does, oh, this works great. You know, we got the knowledge already there. You won't have to worry about if you're going out and doing any kind of researching. Hey, spending the money, wasting your time, buying this gear, because we've already tested it. We already know what works, what doesn't. You'll have that knowledge also.
And I don't know about you, TJ, but you know, the the season is such that the activity has kind of slowed down. It's still going on out there. But we haven't been out on the road for 2 months now.
Yeah.
This is the longest time we've sat at home.
Yeah.
I'm ready to go. I am ready.
You know, so. I'm totally with you, Bob, and I keep, you know, I'm hearing some information through my old man that there is still a lot of activity in the area.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I get emails every day of updates on what they're finding by the team that we have out there keeping their eyes open for us.
Can you be on the calls yet, Marco?
Marco Bell? Is Ray Crow out there yet?
Ray Crow's there.
Oh, hi, Ray. This is Jabba Bob. How are you?
Yeah.
Have you been listening?
I've been listening
to Ron Milione and Jim Snell?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they've had a lot of good information for us.
Uh-huh.
I'm glad you made it in. I announced to everybody that you got some new information about that Russian Bigfoot, and I went ahead and posted it on the website. What I did is I took your letter and simply posted it along with the website, because we had a habit of telling people what we see, what we hear, what we find, just as it is. We don't do much with it. So we just try and share what we find, and that's it. Let them make their own decisions.
Uh-huh.
And you might share a little bit about that picture and what you've recently found out about it.
Oh, well, just recently that Russians sort of think it was a hoax, that it was just a joke put on by some students. But gee, it sure looks good to me. It's a nice looking picture. I hate to just write it off, but I guess I'll have to at least keep some doubts out there.
Yeah, well, you know, I looked at that picture, and I, just like one of the people in Russia that looked at it, they can't find any signs that indicate it's been, something that was superimposed or anything like that. I couldn't either, but like I say, I'm not the expert. We have other people looking at it still.
Uh-huh.
But I printed just exactly what you sent me, and you'll see if we get a chance. You probably haven't got a chance to get the website yet, because
I just got your
letter this afternoon.
Yeah. I've been pretty busy today. Hey, one thing I wanted to mention is, we've had other cases before where we think maybe the Bigfoot can actually see into the infrared. And they know that whenever it's on around them, and they avoid it. Have you guys considered this before?
Well, you know, I haven't heard anything about that, but, we have a doctor on the line, Dr. Ron Maloney, and, you know, there's a spectrum of infrared. I guess Ray Crow saying that creatures can see. Would that be true, Mr. Maloney?
Well, I mean, he's got a good point there. We really don't know for sure, but, the output or the spectral, the illumination output is not going to be really high power. In other words, totally high power enough where it's going to kind of directly, have a narrow beam, let's say, into that entity or that thing's, optical, its eyes. It has crossed our minds. It has crossed my mind, but it's going to be more of this infrared's more of a widespread than a narrow spread. So widespread means it's not going to be like a concentrated beam. So probability, we call LPI, low probability of intercept. It should be definitely in our favor. In other words, we look at, as far as in the military side, we look at something called LPI index. So in other words, what's the probability of being picked up or something? So both on a radio spectrum or now on an optical spectrum, trying to keep that into mind. So it's true that it could be sensed by, some of the illumination output, but we're using widespread illumination effect, not concentrated. So the LPI should be really good in our favor.
My understanding, and I may be incorrect on this, so don't quote me, but infrared's a rather broad spectrum, actually. The infrared area is something between 120 and 200 nanometers,
right,
wavelengths of light. And I have seen some infrared units that are out on the market that you can see they look like a red light, and others that are higher end that you can't see. I mean, they're just not visible. So that's why we leave this up to the expert, Dr. Milioni, and hopefully he's giving us the opportunity available.
Java, Bob, we do have a caller, area code 325. Would you like me to bring him on?
Sure.
Okay. Is that okay, TJ?
Yeah, bring him on. Let him ask questions.
Okay,
area code
bring him on, please.
325, you're on the air with...
Hello?
Java, Bob.
Hey.
Hello?
How are you?
Hi, who are we talking to?
Andrew.
I'm sorry, one more time?
Andrew.
Andrew, how are you?
Doing good.
He always finds us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this wrong?
Yes, it is. How you doing, man?
I missed y'all's show.
Oh, we've been kind of crazy busy, man. Been all over the place. So it's been away on a couple of, three major trips already, and just don't even have time to breathe, to be honest with you.
I have one question, then I have one question for Ron.
Go ahead.
One question is, will y'all be back on y'all show anytime soon?
Oh, yeah, that's going to be back in the circuit. It's just been, logistically, it's been kind of impossible because I was on the West Coast for about a week, and then we just had, two major ghost events and stuff.
Mm, okay.
That I had to get through, and so it's just been this. So many things going on at one time, so I kind of put that a little bit on the back burner because of just logistical wise, we just so much stuff going on, and we're getting close to
the big
March, so some of the extra time that we do have is now going to kind of have to put it towards concentration to. The Bigfoot event.
Okay.
So some let's call it electronics time and stuff like that, testing time. I need to focus on that a little bit. So we're definitely going to try to get back on the our regular blog.
Yeah, because I haven't seen y'all since.
It's just this is right now. So many things going on, and this big event coming up at the end of March is real critical. So there's a lot of things to that I need to finalize and get together, and there's a couple things I need to fine tune yet with some of the equipment. So it's going to take a lot of every second of spare time that I have to get this thing completed.
Because
for the audience that's listening in, a lot of people may not have heard of this, but Dr. Milioni is Milioni has also been involved with. Developing some of the equipment that's used on a very popular reality show, I believe TAPS, Ghost Hunters, is this what it's called?
Yeah, Ghost Hunters is the reality show on Sci-Fi, which is now in its third season. That's correct.
Amazing. And if those of you who haven't seen the show, it's very, very interesting. And what struck me about it is that the format is very similar to what we do when we go out in the field. Pretty good show, pretty interesting show.
My question is, I remember I talked to Ron and Jim about this while back ago about Bigfoot. I remember, reading the stories and everything else. But, how come you don't see any of that stuff on TV anymore?
Oh, it's on, trust me. It's on all the time. By the way, Andrew, have you checked out our website?
No, sir, I haven't.
Oh, you might take some time and try it. Take a look. A lot of interesting stuff there. A lot of stuff about what's going on every day in the Bigfoot field. Take a look at searching for Bigfoot. That's one word. FOR, searchingforbigfoot.com.
Alrighty, and I miss y'all, Ron, so I hope I get to talk to y'all soon because I emailed you through your TAPS website.
Yeah, okay, I appreciate it, man. It's just that we're just inundated with so much stuff going on. It's starting to really be a very, very busy quarter right now. Now it's starting to really kick off. So it's not that we don't want to do it. It's just that, like say, for logistics, we got things all, you know, very, very important things going on, and you can't be at two places at the same time, which we can, but that's just one of those things. But once you're on tonight, you're hearing us, and like you say, you listen to Java Bob, go to searchingforbigfoot.com, and you could definitely you could spend many, many months just going through that and just seeing what's going on the crypto world that we're attempting to do at the end of March.
Yeah, because I just remember hearing a lot of things about it when I was about Bigfoot when I was little. Watched, you know, a lot of, you know, the sci-fi shows. They used to do like different stories on different things, and then they stopped doing about Bigfoot. And I'm like, what's going on here now?
Well, what they do is they go through rotation. I mean, the same thing with the History Channel is, you know, they'll come back and forth. You know, they'll do. One thing, there'll be a UFO hot, I call it hot time on the air.
I saw
then they'll switch to some other phenomena like the Bermuda Triangle. Then they'll go back to maybe Loch Ness or Nessie, and then they'll go back to Bigfoot. So, you know, they just kind of rotate these, you know, these I call them these big, you know, paranormal events. They put them in rotation, not to really put it, you know, not to overdrive each one. So kind of give each one its own turn when they think it's right to bring it back out again. So that's what the networks do. They kind of give each one their own chance.
Bob, we have a question in the chat room. They would like to know that when we do capture the creature, how will we get it out of the area?
Well, you know, we have helicopters on standby with the all the equipment they're going to need to fly this thing out. So that's our plan.
And that question came
And I just answered it on the blog, by the way.
There you go. Okay. Sorry to interrupt, Ron.
That's fine.
Can I say hello to Jim if he's still around?
Oh, yeah, I'm there.
All righty.
How you doing, Andrew?
Nothing much. Your MySpace account got deleted or something.
Oh, well.
Well, Andrew, we only have about 6 minutes or 7 minutes left of our show.
Alrighty.
I'm going to see if there's any other callers out there. We're going to keep talking about Bigfoot right now.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for calling in and follow us for a while. I think you'll be really impressed with what's going on out there.
Out with us.
Alrighty, I keep up with the show.
All right, thank you, Andrew.
Alrighty.
Thanks for coming on, Andrew.
Okay.
Wow, what a lot of great questions Andrew had.
Ray Crowley. Are you still out there?
Yeah, I'm still here, and I'm wondering about the ultrasound devices that they've developed to hunt for ghosts with, and the same stuff that they use whales and elephants communicate with. I'm wondering, have you tested this out and had any results yet with Bigfoot?
Okay. See, I wasn't sure if he was directed to you. I've been doing some testing on it, and actually a couple times in the last couple of months. And matter of fact, even brought it down to some of the areas here in my area, in New York, and tested it out. And it seems pretty effective. So, and it's also, there's a lot of different types of crazy. This natural wildlife upstate New York too. I went up there and we did some 3-hour test, and it's definitely picking up a lot of different patterns. Not saying particularly Bigfoot, but it's picking up different patterns. But when I'm out to the area that we're going to go for, we know it's an active hot spot. Then I could do is we could just tune it to a to that area, to that particular location, and then we call it filter out everything else that we don't want to hear and just filter in what we think is the vocalization pattern of the species. So it's and it's going to be, like we call it, 22,000 acres, as TJ mentioned, and it's going to be a real quiet zone as far as away from civilization. So anything that's recognizable that's going to be start picking up, it's going to be, I call it a high priority signal that will have to do is trying to get a location pattern on it. So when I say location pattern, in other words, where it's coming from. So we're going to have quite a bit of GPS local database I'm going to have of that area through very precise lat-long location, and then we're going to start gridding it out. So we'll be able to, say, triangulate pretty quickly what's going on. So, for example, Google Earth, for example, just picture that just on a local laptop instead of using over the Internet. We're in, if we need to, I need to move and locate something pretty quick and figure out distances. That's all already been worked out.
Well, you know, too, to answer your question a little, Ray, make it a little simpler, we don't know whether or not this creature communicates with ultra-low frequencies or anything like that as well either, because we're walking down a road nobody's ever walked down before. That's what makes us so unique. But we do know that animals that try, that need, like elephants and whatnot, that have to commute over great distances, do take advantage of that range of sound. And we also know that these creatures are travel great distances when they migrate, and they travel in small family pods or small groups, and would be beneficial to them to be able to communicate with each other over great distances. So it's very probable. But, again, we don't know because it's not been tried, and we won't know until we try it.
Now, I'm glad he brought that up, because let me just bring out another cat out of the bag since he just mentioned that type of question. I'm also working on, which will be available by the time we actually get out there, that besides on the ultra-low frequency, I'm also counterbalancing that on the ultrasonic sweeper. So I'm going to bring in a couple ultrasonic sweeper ears, specially designed to go just above the human frequency range that's going to be tunable. So we could have, or we're going to have, is one group or one area will be listening on the low, and another group be listening on the high end. So now we're going to cover both sides. Okay, so I'll announce this right now, the first time, that I'm also working and just about ready where we're going to have a ultrasonic sweeping type of collection system that's going to be portable, that someone's going to be listening in real time as they're walking, besides on the low frequency end. So we're going to cover both spectrums.
Uh-huh. Outstanding.
Hey, guys, I got to ask you something while we're on the air here, and, you know, I need to know anyway. And what is the best airport for ticket holders to fly into? That's probably the most asked question that I get.
Every time we've been there, I've driven there, and I know they have an airport nearby. But I'm not able to answer that question.
Probably Dallas, right? Dallas is probably the most international airport.
Yeah, we'll have to dig into that, too.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you guys might have known.
Not offhand.
I got
stumped
you right on the air.
when we go, we pretty much go on foot.
That's right.
We drive in and park and go out and look. This is what we do for a living. So we're kind of on the ground troops.
Well, I would probably say probably
is around 2.5 hours. Just from Paris, Texas, and then we got an additional hour or so to our spot.
Mm-hmm.
So Dallas-Fort Worth is the biggest airport. There is a smaller one, and I think it's Detroit, Oklahoma, which is probably 90 miles away, but I can't be positive on that.
Okay, great.
You know, we can get some information to you, not a problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jimmy,
we'll do a little research, and I'll put it on the website.
There you go.
Cool.
Jimmy, you got a few seconds. You want to say a few words and get out to people anything else, any kind of information before I want to first off say hi to Joan out there in the chat room, Charlene and H.B. May and P.A. Bryan. Guys, thanks for coming on and enjoying. And go on, Jimmy, see if you got anything you want to say.
Well, I just want to make sure people know how they can get involved in this if they want to. And all you got to do is send us an email to searchingbigfoot@yahoo.com, or you can log on to www.parapalooza.com, and you can get all the information there and purchase tickets as well. And the phone number, I forgot again.
Phone number is 646-652-6529.
Thank you, Bob.
What do you think of me now? What do you think of me now, huh?
Hey, there you go, man. He's gonna be I'm gonna be your wingman in the field, brother.
All right.
He's got me covered.
Bob, great memory.
Well, I learned how to use a pen a long time ago.
There you go.
Now, one more thing. I think for information as to how to contact people, there's also on the homepage there we have a banner that talks about our news release, on webmail or web, whatever, some kind of program. It has all that information, the contact numbers, everything is on that as well. So,
yeah, and don't forget it. You know, we want to make sure that people are fit to do this type of work, and it is going to be work too. I mean, it's an expedition. This isn't going to be sitting in front of the TV and watching. It's going to be far from that. We make sure that you are in the shape and probably, should be in better shape than I am, at least.
Well, it's true, and although that time of the year probably won't be too bad, but it gets pretty warm around Texas.
Yeah, it should be nice this time of year, though.
Yeah, it should be just fine.
Yep.
Not too many mosquitoes and...
Oh, no, if you want mosquitoes, you got to go to Minnesota. I think they have the best.
They've got it, Bob. You're right. It's like blanket mosquitoes out there, Minnesota has the world cornered on mosquitoes.
Well, I tell you, I've been to Alaska, and they didn't compare with Minnesota's mosquitoes.
Well, it looks like we're getting near the end of the show. I want to thank all our guests, Marco Bill, for helping out this evening while my dad was away, Bob for co-hosting with me, and guys, we've got a month and 3 or 4 days until March 29th in Parrish, Texas, with Granite State Paranormal, Ron Milioni, James Snell, searching for Bigfoot.com. Get online, buy your tickets, and, hey, keep those emails coming in. We love them. We respond back to all emails and calls, anything on Bigfoot. Mr. Ray Crow, do you have any parting words?
I'm anxious for you guys to catch something down there.
Well, we'll see
you out there. One last thing. Last week somebody asked if we could put a list of people's websites that write in on the access board here, the chat room. And
yes,
if you'd like to be able to contact some of the other people that sign in here and you have a website, email me the URL to that website at javabob@inbox.com, and I'll make sure that it gets posted.
Awesome, absolutely, Bob. And, guys, next week we're going to have an action-packed show as soon as Dad gets back and goes through the evidence that's been collected over the past couple days. Stay tuned because we might have something that's going to rock you out here.
Yeah, that sounds
all right,
cool.
All right, so this was our 24th show, and we thank everybody for listening in and for being part of the show. And you all have a good evening. Thank you all.
Good night, everyone.
Hey, guys, have a good night.
Thanks, guys. Roll it, Marco.
Yes, TJ.
That's yours. Roll it out, sir.
Here we go, and here we go with our 30 March advertisement. The number to contact, Mr. James Snell, 646-652-6529, and here is the ad.
Join us on the expedition of a lifetime as we search for Bigfoot in Parrish, Texas, March 30th, 2007.
I'm here tonight to tell you and the world that myself and my company, Searching for Bigfoot, has definite proof that Bigfoot lives.
2007, Search for Bigfoot, Tom the Guardian team, as seen in the hit film, Bigfoot Lives.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now.
That's Paris, Texas, March 30th, 31st, and 32nd. Bigfoot has met his match with the technology of Dr. Ron Milioni, with special guest, Ghost Hunter, Brian Hunter. Reserve your tickets now. Searching Bigfoot at yahoo.com. That's searching Bigfoot at yahoo.com. 2007. Search for Bigfoot with the legend Tom Hardy.
Searching for Bigfoot.com.
And ladies and gentlemen, you can contact Mr. James Snell at 646-652-6529 or email him at searchingbigfoot@yahoo.com. That's searchingbigfoot@yahoo.com.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests, Java Bob and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. What brought them together? Reason for the fact.